Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke. Of course, we've been in the book of Luke now for well over a year. We're in chapter 10, and may I say that the majority of you could teach this lesson. It's the story of the Good Samaritan, and I have nothing new to tell you about it, no new twists, but I hope to give you some personal thoughts that I have acquired through the years, and hopefully you will also enjoy them. Let's stand together, if you would, be please, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25 through 29. We'll see here Christ and a lawyer, and each are asking questions, which is a typical Jewish way of conversation. And it says in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, that being the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come and to be here this day. And Lord, may we say as we leave, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we pray that at the invitation time, that we could have the angels of heaven rejoicing. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer." The Apostle Paul makes reference to Zenas, the lawyer in Titus chapter 3, verse 13, asking Titus to bring him an Apollos when Titus came to visit him. So not all lawyers are wrong. You know, what's that saying? We need to start over again and kill all the lawyers first? Yeah. But, you know, we find that there was a certain lawyer. This lawyer stood up, and he had a purpose for standing up. Maybe he was used to being the center of attention. But we find that this certain lawyer stood up with a purpose, the Bible says, and tempted him, putting Jesus to the test. He had a question, and maybe he had been discussing this with other legal counsel. Maybe he had been discussing this with some of the Pharisees or Sadducees. Who knows? But he stands up with a purpose, and he has a question. Some would say it was a very genuine question. Others may thought of it as being a malicious question. But the question was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Do you know there are many theories as what we can do? There are some that are taught if you are good enough and your good works outweigh your bad works, God is going to let you into heaven. Nowhere in the Word of God is that ever found. Nowhere. You can search it from cover to cover. We are not told that good works will get us into heaven. We are to do good works, but those good works will not get us into heaven. We need to look at it through God's eyes and not human eyes. There are some who say, well, if you attend church regularly and you say your prayers and you give financially, God is bound to let you into heaven. Nowhere found in the Word of God that that's how we get there. We must believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must be willing to ask God for forgiveness. We must be willing to ask the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. But we find here this question, whether it was genuine, was one of curiosity or hostility, we're not sure, but Christ is not going to answer the question. He's going to ask him another thought. He says, what is written in the law? Jesus asked the lawyer, what is written in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Don't lie in church. Don't say yes. You say, well, Pastor, I do. No, you don't. None of us do. We love the Lord, but do you love him with all your heart? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Do you really love him with all your soul? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. Do we give him all our strength? Do we love him with all our mind? Keeping your place here, would you please turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We find also that the law says, and thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, that ought to stop a lot of us right there. Because do we really love our neighbor as ourself? I tell you what, I know a lot of people who can't stand their neighbors. But we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are what the law says. Well, we find in, did I say Deuteronomy chapter 6? Did I say verse 5? But you probably already knew that because you have it underlined. Verse 5 says, well, let's read verses 4 and 5. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. We are to serve the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the universe. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is what the law said. Take your Bibles and go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll look at verse 18. Now, what the lawyer is doing, he's quoting Scripture. It does us well to quote Scripture. We need to know Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Boy, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? None of you would ever want revenge, would you? None of you would ever hold a grudge. I tell you what, I know people who have held grudges for years. Somebody said something, and boy, it rubbed them the wrong way, and 12 years later, they're still holding that grudge. I remember when so-and-so said this, as if they never made a mistake. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. The Lord says you're to love your neighbor. If you would, back to the book of Luke. Verse 28. And he, that being Jesus, said unto him, that being the lawyer, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Do it. The lawyer couldn't do it any more than we could do it. We struggle enough with loving our neighbor as ourselves, let alone loving the Lord with all our heart and soul and might. We struggle. And so the lawyer, and you know how it is, some people always want the last word. The lawyer, verse 29 says, but he willing to justify himself. Have you ever known anybody that wanted to justify their anger? Have you ever known anybody that wanted to justify their doing wrong? Well, you just don't understand. Anybody starts a sentence with that, watch out. You just don't understand. You should have been there. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I don't know if the lawyer was wanting to see if Jesus knew his lawyer, personal neighbor. We all have neighbors. Some have more neighbors than others. But the lawyer is going to be saying to himself, okay, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to love? Who is that? I don't believe that he was ready for the reply that Jesus was going to give. Jesus' reply was not to answer him as to who is his neighbor, but to ask, but are you a neighbor? Are you a neighbor? So let's read the parable of the Good Samaritan, beginning at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Jesus answered this question of the lawyer with a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And as I've already mentioned, the majority of you could probably come up here and teach this lesson. You have been taught it probably from your own youth. You know the story. I don't have any new information, but I have some personal thoughts. Number one, we find a certain man. We presume that he was a Jew. We are not told he was a Jew, but he was leaving from Jerusalem, going down to Jericho. And he left Jerusalem, and as the Bible always states, when you leave Jerusalem, you go down. And he went down to Jericho. This man became victim to thieves. The Bible says he fell among thieves. We are not told how many. We know that there were at least how many? We know there were at least 2. There could have been 12. We're not told. But he's coming down the road. Apparently nobody is nearby. And the thieves see an opportunity and they attack him. They strip him naked. They leave him, as it were, half dead. In other words, he probably put up a fight, and we find that they just beat the tar out of him. Now, I'm not going to ask you if any of you've ever fallen among thieves where they hit you and beat you and kicked you. I remember one time walking in on a robbery. I was going over to place Delcoma over here by Henry Ford Hospital, and I walked into the pharmacy to ask a question as to where the doctor's office was. You know, simple thing, wouldn't you? You know, men do actually stop and ask for directions. And I walked into the pharmacy, and the pharmacist asked what I wanted, and I said, I need to know where such and such doctor's office is. And he pointed to a man, and he says, he'll take care of you. The man had a gun. I mean, it was about that big. Well, it really wasn't quite that big, but he had a pistol. And he brought the pistol over, and just so I could see it, he stuck it in my face. And he says, I want you behind the counter. And so it was at that time that I realized that there were about 6 other people behind the counter. And so I walked around and was over there, and I made up about number 7. And I had my hands up in the air. I guess I was kind of stupid. I was hoping that someone walking along the hallway would see that I'm standing there with my hands up in the air. And about that time, he said, put your hands down. Everybody put your wallets in this bag. He had come with a bag in which he was going to put whatever he was after, drugs, cash, whatever was of value. And a lot of the people put their wallets in the bag. I thought to myself, I'm not going to put my wallet in your bag. Now, I did take my wallet out. I put it on the shelf, high up so that he couldn't see it. And he was busy. I mean, there were seven of us there, and he couldn't keep his eye on everybody. And he was trying to get things, and he was throwing them in a bag. And finally, he was about to leave, and he says, "All of you get in the bathroom." Now, folks, I didn't want to get in the bathroom with everybody. But he was waving this gun. About that time, he tried to yank the telephone off the wall. Stupid, stupid, stupid. That telephone didn't come off the wall. So he just left in a hurry. Not all of us had gotten in the bathroom, which I was glad. A few minutes later, the police showed up. But you know, some of us have had an experience such as something like that, and you know, it could have been embarrassing. Now, some of you, maybe you pack. You know what I mean when you pack? You're carrying a gun. Now, I don't know what you'd have done if you'd had a gun. Maybe some of you know karate or judo or something like that and would have just made the national news by beating the tar out of the guy. But I know this, that during that time, I was kind of fearful. I thought, man, that gun could just go off by accident. But this man was beaten by these thieves. Three travelers come by. There is a certain priest, the Bible says, a certain priest. We're not told who, but it was a certain priest. We find that there was a Levite and there was a certain Samaritan. These three come down the trail. Have you ever wished you hadn't gone down a trail or down the road because there was someone in need and you're saying, boy, I wish I wasn't put in this position to have to help? We find that the certain priest represents religion. The Bible says by chance. But may I say this, that religion will not get you into heaven. Religion may show you the need of your of needing to go to heaven, but it's not going to get you into heaven. There is a lot of religion in the world today. I was telling you there on the island of Kauai, I was told by the preacher there at the church we attended a couple of weeks ago that he said there was over 100 different religious groups on this island that has about 55,000 people. They have plenty of religion there, but religion won't get you into heaven. Well, we find that a certain Levite came by. Some would say he would represent the law and legalism. The law only shows that we are lost, that we have not kept the law. But then a certain Samaritan comes by. I believe he represents mercy. Three people came by, but only one was willing to show mercy. It says that the Samaritan had compassion on him. Let us note that the Samaritan did for the victim of the thieves. See what he did. Now, while there were those that were going to take advantage of him, they were going to take what he was wearing, they were going to take whatever he possessed, they were going to leave him for dead, there was someone that was going to do just the opposite. We find that the Samaritan went to him. He went to him. He did not pass by on the other side of the road. We find that he bound up his wounds. Now, we're not sure what type of wounds he had. We don't know if a knife was used or a staff or what was used to hurt him, but whatever, he had wounds. We find that he poured oil and wine into the open sores. He set him on his own beast. Thus he, the Samaritan, had to walk. We find that he took the time to take him to an inn and continue to take care of him there. Now, you would say he was giving of his time and effort, right? But not only that, as he departed, he paid the cost for the room and the cost of continued care. Would you say this man went out of his way? Would you say that this man saw a need and did something about it? And he declares, if it costs more, trusting the innkeeper's honesty, he says, I'll pay more. When I return, I think that's an important thought, when I return, I will cover the cost. Jesus continues now to put the pressure on the lawyer by asking yet another question. Which now of these three was the neighbor? Which one was the neighbor? We are not told that the lawyer would know this man that was coming down from Jerusalem. We are not told he knows anything about him. We're not told that he was a friend or that he was someone he knew. This was just simply someone that he came upon. Well, the obvious answer given by the lawyer is that he that showed mercy. May I say this, Satan is the thief. He will steal our peace, he will steal our joy, he will steal our contentment, and he will steal our soul. But Jesus is the one that chose mercy. He has found us beaten and naked. He has bound up our wounds. He has bore our burdens on the cross. He has paid the debt. We were the one on the road of life that was found there beaten and left for dead. And Jesus is the one that comes by and takes care of us. And when he comes again, there will be no more cost, for the price of that unspeakable gift has already been paid. Christ has paid the cost of our redemption. That's why when people say, well, if I'm good enough, I say to you, you cannot be good enough. God will not accept your goodness. He will only accept the goodness of God the Son. It's when people say, well, if I try and I do everything I've been told, I'll get into heaven. No. What you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we are to do the same to our neighbors. For it says, go and do thou likewise. The good Samaritan did that which was right. The lawyer says, he that showed mercy. Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Why should we keep the doors of the church opened? Go and do thou likewise. Why invite people to church? Go and do thou likewise. Why have missions and a mission conference? Go and do thou likewise. Shall we stand together? There are those who today are as this man beaten upon the road of life. And they need more than just religion or the law. They need more than money. They need more than education or good health. They need a Savior. They need someone that's going to have compassion upon them. Are you the one who's willing to show compassion? And if by chance you are the one that's along the road that's been beaten and left for dead, will you allow the Lord to take care of you? To bind up your wounds? To bear your burdens to the cross? To pay the debt? But that's something you have to decide. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. We're glad for the one that had compassion. I hope you're glad for the compassion that Jesus Christ gives. I hope you've accepted it. I do hope that you know the Lord as Savior. But if you don't, we do pray that today you would come to know him and that he would become your Savior for all eternity. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Help us, Lord, to be compassionate. In a world that is selfish, in a world that thinks of itself first, may we be compassionate. May we be concerned. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.